League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the
WTF1 podcast with
post-qualifying edition. I thought we'd get Tommy involved in it. I actually thought you'd forgotten what came after the T. There was such a delay. And then you said F. I was like,
forgot
okay,
my
we're still
own brand
there.
Name.
We're still there. Brilliant. Thanks, Tommy, for that. That was amazing. We are, of course, here to talk about Baku. Qualifying has happened. And of course, I have got a smile on my face. Tommy does not. Where's your man, Tommy? I don't see him on the front row of the grid.
No, it's a very unusual situation, Charles Leclerc, getting on pole, isn't it? I had a lot of poles. Not many wins, yes. But...
Oh, here we go. Well, there you go. Amazing. I should mention, we are live on Twitch right now, and Tommy has got the very lovely name of Twitch Tommy, because he just does not hold back with his opinions when doing a podcast, when doing anything live on Twitch, apparently. So if you were wondering, we are doing watch-alongs for practice, qualifying, and the race for every race weekend. So make sure you head over to the Twitch channel and follow there. And we will be taking some questions from Twitch chat as well. So we'll keep an eye on that. So yeah, let's talk about it then. So of course, Leclerc took pole position very comprehensively. 15th pole. More poles than Max Verstappen and still a lot less wins. Thank you. And it was Sergio Perez second, ahead of Max Verstappen third, and of course, Carlos Sainz fourth, who was actually first after the first run in Q3. Now, big question ahead of the race tomorrow comes in from James Allen 1990. Now, I don't think this is James Allen, the commentator, but he asks, if team orders are given in favour of Max, should Checo ignore them? Another question about team orders and Checo, and of course reflecting on what happened in Spain, but that was very different, and I can understand why Red Bull did it, because they were on different strategies, but then also Checo's strategy was ruined earlier when Max didn't let him through and he could have attacked earlier. But should he ignore them if they're on the same strategy? Absolutely. You just turn off your team radio. Just oh no, my earplugs come loose, can't hear you. If they're on completely different strategies, fair enough. That's my thinking.
He's got his contract now as well, hasn't he? So he's like, I'm signed now.
Unless the contract says you must move out of the way at all times.
Yeah, I think he said that there was nothing in there about that. I mean, he mentions about he signed it too early. He probably signed it at the right time, because if they'd have asked him to sign it now, they'd probably put a, can you just slow down a bit in there? So, Checo, I personally don't think they will do team orders unless it is like a fact where, you know, Max is a lot quicker and he's holding him up, which, you know, we saw in Monaco, I think, Checo burnt out his tyres. And obviously then it didn't, you know, no one could get past. So it was fine. But, you know, if that happens again, they will say Max. But it's a fascinating order. I mean, the qualifying order for me is absolutely fascinating. You've got so many stories in there that you're going to have Sainz coming through that's almost got nothing to lose, really, and is behind the two Red Bulls. Leclerc wants to stay in front of them. Perez is ahead of Verstappen. I think the Red Bull situation is the most fascinating thing, and unsurprisingly, they were what all the questions were about, because it's Baku, two Red Bulls battling. What could go wrong?
Well, there's been a lot of, well, the video's been circulated a lot of course, Verstappen and Ricciardo coming together, where Verstappen moved a little bit in the braking zone into turn one, and Ricciardo just completely wipes the back end of Verstappen out. But yeah, I can't see it spilling over that much that Max just sends a ridiculous move on Sergio and there's, you know, some sort of collision, because at the end of the day, Max, I think, learned a lot last year about the fact scoring points doesn't necessarily have to be first place, can win you a title. So, yeah, it should be really interesting. I wonder why. Where has this pace change come from? I can't get my head around it. Obviously, with it being a massively new car, of course, that may well just suit Sergio better than having a developed car that's been pretty much all around Max. But it's a fascinating discussion for sure.
It'd be interesting to see as well whether, you know, Max has thought about the fact that, you know, he doesn't get many poles. We joke about the Leclerc thing, but, you know, Max has got a lot of wins and has less poles than Leclerc. You know, he doesn't tend to get many poles. And I wonder if part of his strategy as well is, you know, he's thinking about his race car. And I do think he is driving completely different. There'll be all this talk of, oh, he's under so much pressure now and stuff. If it happens that he's behind Perez or there's something happens, I think that will happen. And it's fair enough. But Monaco is an anomaly, as we've said so many times. I'm fascinated to see what happens in this race because, especially, I mean, as soon as they get on that straight, we know Red Bulls have been quicker. Normally in a straight line, they'll maybe have DRS. Can they stay within DRS? And then, you know, are you going to get Sergio going for Charles? Are you going to get Verstappen going for Checo? Are you going to get Sainz try and get both of them? I just can't wait for the race already. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's finally poised, isn't it? I'm massively looking forward to it. Next question, Justin_McIsaac. Will Checo not getting fueled in time, with Checo not getting fueled in time to go out and give Max a tow in Q3, cause more conspiracy theories from Jos or the F1 media in general? Well, yes. I mean, Jos Verstappen says everything. I wouldn't really pay much attention to what he says, to be honest. But I think... We made a joke about it when we were doing our quali watch along on Twitch that, oh, well, you know, Checo's pressed a button here and made a fail go off and he doesn't have to give the tow. It's interesting how his car had an issue and then it was fixed in like 2 minutes and then it was fine and whatnot. But no, I can't see it being anything other than just coincidence that was what happened. Like, why would Checo want to hinder Max, really? What, because he wants to get closer in the championship? I don't know. Red Bull would just lose their minds, I think, if they saw anything like that happening in their own team. So, no, nothing to go from, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be seeing anything just yet from Checo. You know, that doing something like that is the kind of thing, and we'll go into this later, a certain Fernando Alonso would probably have done with Hamilton as his teammate back in the day. I don't feel like we're at that stage of the season yet where Checo's already trying to, you know, not get in trouble at Red Bull, but throw his weight around a bit and be like, oh no, I'm not doing this. So whether that happens in 5, 6, 7 races time when if they're still this close, my God, this race, I can't wait. I honestly, it's this such
You're buzzing.
A good grid.
I've never seen you buzzing so much from a Verstappen P3.
Well, because it's going to be exciting and, you know, Grace's onesie's still got to go on for the, yeah. So I'm sure it'll be fine. But I think if you could, from a neutral, if you could order them, you'd probably put it in that order, or probably maybe Sainz up ahead just to see how that pans out. But yeah, fascinating.
Yeah, I maybe that's the reason why you're so happy, is that you know that Max is going to win.
Qualifying.
Max, you know that Max is going to win because of Grace's onesie. And so you know it's going to be a good race because he's starting third. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, well, he's not. I did see that Verstappen, I saw a stat that I think Verstappen's only beaten Leclerc in quali once this year. And there you go. And he's leading the championship. So it's not be all and end all of qualifying. So I don't get too sad about qualifying unless obviously he binned it in the wall or something. But no, it's going to be good.
Fair. Yeah, no, it's fine. I probably should have learnt by now that pole position doesn't mean anything, considering Leclerc isn't leading the championship.
And let's got talk the worst conversion ratio ever.
Yep, thank you. You done? You're quite done, Twitch, Tommy. Yeah. Are you finished? Let's talk about some naughty tactics. Firstly, Fernando Alonso. This was after the red flag, wasn't it? This was when it was 2.5 minutes to go in Q one, wasn't it? It was Q1.
Yeah.
2.5 minutes to go. And Alonso has a miraculous loss of control of the car going into turn 15 and goes down the runoff. And Albon was absolutely fuming. Like, not happy at all. Thinks that there was tactics there around Fernando going a bit slowly. And then
Alonso never.
No, Fernando's never done anything dodgy.
No, not at all.
But, you know, we laugh because it's Fernando and, you know, he's done all sorts of things, such as he was corner cutting everywhere in Abu Dhabi on his last race before coming back again. We know he has it in him, but is there anything there that the stewards can even look at? Not really.
No.
How do you prove that he didn't lose control of the car?
Exactly. We'll go into someone else that did slightly naughty tactics as well. But the fact that Alonso, yeah, how can you prove? There's nothing to prove. It's like Nico Rosberg, for example, will never know whether that was deliberate the way at Monaco, of course, when he caused the yellow flag and kept pole position and went down the runoff and went, oh no, I'm down the runoff. You cannot prove that there'll never be proof that that was legit. Unless he comes out and says it. So same with Alonso, right? It's very cheeky. It's very Fernando Alonso. I'd be amazed if he wasn't doing it on purpose. It's just him. But the FIA cannot prove that. A lockup at the end of the day, unless, you know, there's so many things they could say on the data. I don't know how you'd prove that he's done that on purpose. He's locked up and gone off, so.
Absolutely. And the other naughty tactic was Lewis Hamilton, who was going incredibly slowly. And as of recording right now, we don't actually have an answer, do we, as to whether he's got a penalty or not? Is that right, Tommy?
No idea yet. So he's under investigation. Alonso
Twitch chat will keep us in the loop, I'm sure.
Yeah.
As to whether we get any breaking news with regards to that. The question from rshepherd_ is, why was Hamilton under investigation and Alonso wasn't? Probably because what we just spoke about, in the sense of what can the stewards really investigate him for? He just made a mistake, even though we know deep down he probably did it to cause a yellow flag. Whereas Hamilton's was like a much more slam dunk, you know, in the sense of, not slam dunk in terms of penalty, even though I think it probably is, more that he's slowed down to a quite dangerous speed and cars are coming up behind him and not passing him. And I think Lando's engineer was saying, you know, he's the lead car. He's the one that's going to get in trouble, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, Lewis didn't want to be the lead car because he wouldn't get a slipstream. So that was tactics in itself to try and let some cars through. And he was almost coming to a halt, trying to allow someone to go through. So I can understand why the stewards would then investigate that, because that was a dangerous kind of, you know, the result of Hamilton slowing down was a dangerous scenario. So I can understand why the stewards would look into it. And I think Hamilton will probably get a three-place penalty or something. That's my opinion.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised if that happened, because like you say, it looks kind of, when you just look at it from face value, you're like, oh, it's just, you know, it's a bit of gamesmanship. But you've got to think that him slowing down and Lando slows down, Ricardo slows down, and the car coming around the corner doesn't. It's the speed difference that, you know, we've said it so many times when cars are backing up at the final corner and how dangerous that is. This was not needed. Like, it wasn't needed to happen. So it could very easily have caused a very nasty accident. And I saw someone mention that this happened, was it Miami? I think it was Miami, wasn't it? When Zhou Guanyu got shafted by almost the entire field going slowly. And they didn't penalize everyone. I think 18 drivers were under investigation and they didn't penalize any of them because I guess their thinking is everyone did it. Whereas I think when you are the sole person to do it, I think that's when you could be in trouble. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw, maybe either his best time deleted or a three-place grid drop, which would drop him down to 10th.
Yeah.
And then he'd be stuck behind Fernando Alonso again for the race. I'm sure he'd love that.
And Alonso's quick on a straight line as well. So
yeah,
he'll struggle to get past. Apparently Hamilton is at the stewards in 7 minutes time So thank you very much, Twitch chat. For
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Letting us know that. We've given our opinions. By the time this goes out on our audio platforms and whatnot, it will be done. So maybe it'll age badly or it'll age well.
Yeah.
Something that aged badly was Lance Stroll in qualifying. He probably had one of the worst qualifyings of his career, not only making one mistake where he locked up into turn 15. Yeah.
Was it the soft?
No.
No, it wasn't 15.
No.
It was the one before the castle section, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it was. I'm getting confused with Vettel, who did it there. So he locked up there, carried on, and then locked up again on the same set of tyres into turn two and ripped his front right suspension off.
Yeah, on the qualifying watch along, we're like, oh, that's probably the barrier you want to go in because it's not concrete. And then he slammed it in the concrete barrier later yeah. on the lap.
He just wanted to test it for us, didn't he? Here you go. You know, it's not good to go into one of those hard walls.
Really poor from Stroll. And the fact that his teammate was having an absolute worldie of a qualifying performance.
P7, was it, or 8?
Yeah, he finished ninth in the end.
Was it ninth in the end?
Could be higher, obviously, if Hamilton gets a penalty. But Q2, he was 7th. Q1, he was 6th. So, yeah, Q1... Sebastian Vettel was 6th and Stroll was out in 19th and in the wall. So, yeah.
But don't worry, he's probably the one driver we know will be in Formula 1 in 2050.
He could have literally driven the whole qualifying backwards, got disqualified, and he'd still keep his drive because...
Oh, yeah.
It's fine.
It's because Lawrence Stroll, his father. Right. Questions from Twitch chat. I want to see some questions. I know there have been a lot flying in, so let's find one. They have a delta time to keep to, right? If Lewis slower than that, then surely a penalty, says Naomi Go. Yeah, I mean they have to do a minimum speed in qualifying, and if he's broken that, which you think was a bit of an oversight from Lewis, if he did do that, because he has it on his steering wheel.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he did break that because it is quite slow, and I imagine he was rushing round anyway in the first place because there wasn't that much time left, so he might get away with it from that. That would probably be his alibi, is that the right word? Basically just
alibi. my steering wheel was with me. He can tell you everything.
That would be his like get out of jail free card, I guess, the fact that he could just say that the delta was fine and it's not broken any rule, even if it is a bit cheeky. Maybe that's how he gets away with it.
This user is called George63 Russell and has asked, will Russell win if the top four crash out?
No.
I'm sensing a slight bit of bias. Welcome. We've got Leclerc, Verstappen, and now Russell bias in this Twitch live stream. Why was AlphaTauri better in Baku? I think there's a bit of... Yeah, better suited. And also we've spoken about Gasly having a bit of bad luck and things like that. And, you know, it just comes together at times. And, you know, Gasly's performances from last year especially show that he very much is a very good driver, especially in a top midfield car. So it was always going to come good for AlphaTauri at one time or another. And Baku clearly is one of those where it works, similar to McLaren, I guess, in some ways, in the sense that it just hasn't worked at every single racetrack this year. Another question. Go on.
I was going to say with AlphaTauri as well, we had this question in our podcast, I think it was yesterday, that it swapped around quite a bit. There's not, other than Mercedes, who I'd say are probably clear, oh, especially in the hands of like Russell picking up P5s all the time, like the third best car. That slot for the fourth best car, you kind of think it's McLaren, but then it's changed a lot. Every single race, sometimes it's Alpine. This week it kind of looks to be AlphaTauri, because you got Yuki Tsunoda up in eighth, Gasly in sixth, and they're looking very good. So, yeah, the midfield is quite fascinating. I know a lot of people say that it is nice that we've had a bit of a mix-up. The midfield, that's kind of what we were kind of hoping for the whole season, that everyone would be that close, because the midfield, just, you know, different team at the front every race. But sadly not, unless you're a Red Bull or Ferrari fan, because they are miles ahead. This race in particular has crazy. Shown more than anything that Merca back, they are very much not. It's still those two teams at the front by a long way.
Lewis asks in the Twitch chat, what are Alpine doing in the third sector? They are unleashing their ninth gear. They are very quick in a straight line this weekend, especially in the hands of Fernando Alonso. And yeah, it's just straight line speed, because of course the third sector is literally turn 16, which is the left-hander, and then it's flat out for the rest of the lap. So yeah, it's just straight line speed, which should make it very interesting if Fernando can make his way through. But only P10, wasn't it, for Fernando in Q3, which is a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, I wonder if he's sacrificed. They did say in the practice sessions that he might sacrifice, you know, he might have been able to go a bit quicker if he'd gone for more downforce over the whole lap. But I wonder if we're going to see an overtaking show from Alonso tomorrow.
That'd be fun,
because that'd be very fun. Him in P10, the fact that he's got Sebastian Vettel and Lewis Hamilton in front of him, and Tsunoda obviously as well. But those two champions, that'd be a very exciting battle if we got to see that.
It certainly would. Miller Nicole asks a question that's got nothing to do with qualifying. How was it filming with Seb? It was amazing.
So
he was brilliant, wasn't he, Tommy? Give us your perspective, because you'll see a lot of mine in the videos that are releasing next week.
My perspective was, it was just a really awesome day, because we obviously filmed like a hot lap with him, and we got to do that hot lap. And then you actually did some Aston Martin kind of performance drivings during the day. And Seb arrived a little bit early for the interview with us. So he was just sort of there around waiting for you to get back from your driving.
Yeah. Had I known, I would have pulled into the pits.
Oh, yeah, but
I was just,
yeah.
I was tearing around Stowe Circuit, having a great time. And then I came out the car and they were like, yeah, Seb's ready for you. He's been ready for a little while. I was like, oh, no one told me that.
But yeah, he was, we were just chatting away, which was slightly surreal in my brain, and the background was like, oh my god, I'm just here just chatting with Sebastian Vettel, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, he was really, really friendly. Like, he was so interested in WTF1 and what we did, and was really intrigued to know about YouTube and how it worked. And we, you know, we're telling it about sort of our audience and things like that. And yeah, just a really, really nice guy. Exactly how he came across in the how he comes across on TV and social and everything like that. Just a really genuine, nice guy. Because you never know with these, you never know celebrities and stuff, you know, persona, but absolutely not. He is a legend.
Yeah, he was on such good form. Such good form when we filmed with him. Apparently I was asserting my dominance to Seabiscuit for turning up late. Yes, it wasn't on purpose, I promise. Any other questions? Do you see the porpoising affecting how the drivers drive tomorrow, says Vicky C93X. I think porpoising is worse when the DRS isn't open. So if anything, the porpoising should be worse tomorrow. Well, unless obviously within 1 second, then it's not so bad. But yeah, we've seen quite an affected Carlos Sainz, for example. The Mercedes struggling as well. It's going to be, well, it shouldn't be a problem in the sense of changing the race, the complexion of the race, unless one of the drivers feels that unwell from their head shaking around. But yeah, it's been extreme again. Porpoising seemed to kind of be dipping a little bit in terms of being spoken about. And we got to Baku, and it's probably the worst of the lot.
Speaking of Carlos, we've not really mentioned him too much. Yeah, I think that really was his chance. The fact that he was fastest we said in qualifying, didn't we, that after Monaco, you know, this is a chance to turn the season around. He's finished ahead of Leclerc, albeit in a weird race where Leclerc's had a very bad strategy. And he needed a big confidence boost. And the fact that if he'd have got pole and Leclerc down in P3, was it? Or was he P2 at that time? I can't quite remember.
It was P2. It was Ferrari 1-2.
Yeah. But yeah, so Sainz was in the lead, about to get one over on his teammate, and a really, really scruffy first sector. Like lots of mistakes.
He pushed too hard.
I think that was that was the perfect example. You know, we've said it feels like he's overdriving to compensate. That was the evidence right there for everyone to see, because he just he lost P2 as well. Even if you've just taken a bit of time.
He's fourth, isn't he?
He's fourth now, so it's very not great for him at all.
Yeah, there was definitely an opportunity to start on the front row of the grid with Charles Leclerc tomorrow. He is still in the mix, so let's not write him off. It is Baku as well. Like, anything can happen. But yeah, it's just one thing after another, isn't it? Where you're just expecting it to click for Carlos, but you almost feel like it's snowballing in this this anger and disappointment of constantly not getting what he believes he should be getting out of the car and where he should be finishing. I think this season is going to be a huge learning curve for Carlos, and it depends if he accepts it, takes it on the chin, goes, okay, Charles was better than me, or has been better than me, at least for this part of the season, and then learns and grows from it. Or if the disappointment can kind of almost take over a little bit. But we'll see. It's sad to see, though, that Carlos going through this particular phase, because I think it is 10-0 in qualifying, if you go back to, or 10 in a row for Charles now, if you go back to last year as well. So is it just Leclerc's a master in quali, potentially?
But
the races where you make.
Yeah, the races. He's beaten him in the races though as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's true. So we'll see. We'll come back to that point at the end of tomorrow. Okay. Any other questions you've seen, Tommy, that have been of interest? Should Mercedes start looking for next season already, says Timor 600. I think they all are in some regards. If you're not Ferrari and Red Bull, you're probably thinking. I mean, this whole new era of Formula One, I tweeted about this because I was a little bit disappointed to see the huge gap between Ferrari, Red Bull, and then the rest of the field. But this is a development era, right? This is the first year of the cars being introduced, and a lot of the teams are still getting their head around it. As a Formula One fan, of course, you're going to be a bit disappointed you've not got three or four teams fighting for the title. George Russell said that he thought there'd be four teams fighting for the title this year. That's not turned out to be the case. But as we saw even last year, we saw Red Bull finally catch up to Mercedes. I know there were a few tweaks in the regulations to bring Mercedes back, but we did finally see a team get to that standard. It almost needs a few years now, unfortunately, if we want to see a McLaren or, well, not for a McLaren. Tommy doesn't think McLaren will get anywhere near the front anytime soon. But even a Mercedes to get back, it doesn't seem like it's an overnight fix as much as I still believe Mercedes will win a race this year. It's looking more and more likely like they're not going to be able to challenge for the title, as much as I was like, don't write them off. It's getting later and later now.
Yeah, I think I'm confident they're not. I will say it again, but maybe I did jump the gun a little bit in Imola, especially after what happened in Miami, but you know, they are not even close. And the fact that I think the only way Merck winning a race, in my opinion, is with some good fortune of some retirements and a bit of a crazy, you know, Hungary style situation. The fact that, yeah, I mean, 1.3 seconds off in fifth, the gap between the top is just absolutely humongous. So the fact that, I mean, someone in the chat has just said, if Merck wins a race, will it be Russell or Hamilton? You know, Hamilton's incredible record of winning every single season he's ever competed in is genuinely under threat, like really under threat. And I don't think any of us would thought that would be the case.
But who would you choose, though, Tommy? Church of Edges asked that question. Would you choose Hamilton or Russell to win the first race for Mercedes this year?
Hamilton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though Russell, I think, is beating him, he just kind of almost feels... I will use the example of Daniel Ricciardo at Monza is a good example, in my opinion. But Lando, you know, dominates him, and then the car's there to win, and it's the guy that's won before gets the win. And that does seem to happen a lot in Formula One. So I think if there was a crazy race, I think Lewis Hamilton would be the one to take it. But it's all just guesswork.
It is all guesswork. I actually think I'm going to go for George, but just purely because he's very good in qualifying at the moment. Like, he's doing an incredible job in that Mercedes, and he still finished in the top five in every single race, has he not? No.
Yeah. Wait, he did. He was fifth in Monaco.
Fifth. Yeah. So he's on an unbelievable streak, and that's why there's 2% of me that's like, don't write out George Russell yet. He's still got points on the in the locker. But yeah, it's I don't know. I think that it might well happen for George at some point. But yeah, I do very much agree that Lewis, you can't write him off. Just like Verstappen and the Red Bull, you just can't write them off. And there's loads of theories, as I've said, around why Hamilton's not slower and blah, blah, blah. Why Hamilton is slower at times because he's going for extreme setups and all kinds of theories flying around. But you cannot deny that George isn't doing an amazing job. Right, let's reflect on our Baku predictions, shall we, Tommy? I went for Perez wins again. Could happen.
Could well happen.
And another bad weekend for Mick Schumacher. I think that's fair.
He was last in qualifying.
So I think I'm probably... quite on course for at least one point. Katie's is two red flags in qualifying.
It was one, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was one. And Sainz win. Probably going to go with an for that as well. Yes. Tommy, yours?
I've gone for a Leclerc win. Let's wait and see. And no crashes at the castle section all weekend. So far.
So far, so good.
Somehow, we've got away with it.
Yeah, we've still got the race to go though, Tommy. So
yeah,
we'll see.
And that a crash at the castle section in a race is where it gets tasty, because it obviously creates the huge bottleneck. And if you're behind someone and they crash at that wall, you're a passenger.
Exactly. We haven't really seen it though. We saw Leclerc going in there, but he was out of the way. Like you can still get past, can't you? And obviously that was in qualifying. But like, if the car kind of spears out a little bit, just blocks the track, what happens then?
Mercedes
stop the race.
Mercedes are getting their win because Leclerc's going in there on lap one and taking out both Red Bulls and Sainz.
But you just don't
imagine.
That's
if that
something
happened.
That could easily happen, though. That's the crazy thing about this track. The fans' predictions: Rasmus Stoff, one of the Red Bull cars break down and DNF, car fault, not driver fault. The Panchand. Daniel finally outperforms Norris. It's not happening yet. And Mega versus Primus, a surprising winner. It does not look like it's lined up either, but we will see. Maybe that will age terribly. Tommy, final thoughts?
Final thoughts are it's Baku, so I wouldn't say a surprise winner is that far-fetched, but let's hope for a good race. It's one of those things. Sometimes the hyped races can sometimes be the ones that underdeliver, but I hope not, because Baku normally does deliver. So yeah, fingers crossed we get a good one, because my word, that is a tasty looking grid.
Yeah, they look very close, don't they, Ferrari and Red Bull this weekend. I'm very excited to see how that unfolds, as long as we know how it unfolds.
In a race watch along.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Live on Twitch, we will be there. Race watch along for the very first time. Please come and join us, as it will be brilliant stuff. Thank you to the Twitch chat. We have been live on Twitch as well for this qualifying post-qualifying podcast, the PQP. And
not QPP.
No. And it's been brilliant to bring that all to you. Thank you, Tommy. Thank you to Twitch chat. Thank you to everybody else for watching and listening. It's been a pleasure. Hashtag WTF1 podcast if you want to get involved in the future discussion, and leave us a like, 5 stars, great feedback, whatever you want to do on whatever platform you're listening on. That'll be amazing. So we'll see you very soon for another podcast, and watch us live on Twitch for the race watch along tomorrow for the very first time ever in WTF1 history.
Yay.
Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.